The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me on this. Had a look at the calendar. It's Tuesday, this Tuesday afternoon. My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. I wanted to begin the program today with a sad note. One of the original Tuskegee Airmen was a resident of Central Ohio, passed away recently. He was 91 years old. These men who were part of the Tuskegee Airmen suffered incredible discrimination, bigotry, rose above that, and served our country with incredible honor. And there are very, very few of them left, and now there is one fewer. Hilton Carter was 91 years old. He served as a staff sergeant in the United States Air Force, served in the Pacific Theater in 1947, and he was a crew member for missions in Japan, of all places. After receiving his honorable discharge in 1949, he continued in the service for 9 additional years as a flight engineer. After marrying his wife, Odessa, the couple moved to Los Angeles. They came to Columbus. He was elected as the 6th Ward Committeeman and County Central Committeeman. He also worked as Deputy Treasurer, and Deputy Auditor for the City of Columbus and Assistant Deputy Auditor for the State of Ohio. He retired as the Deputy Director of the Franklin County Board of Elections. And we pay honor to his service. We certainly pay honor to his memory. Again, Hilton Carter, 91 years old, one of the original members of the Tuskegee Airmen, has passed away. And we all owe him and all of the Tuskegee Airmen a deep, deep debt of gratitude. And then we moved to this. I mentioned a moment ago, like all professions, there are good judges, there are bad judges, there are whacked out judges. Well, there is a whacked out judge in Connecticut. Why do I say that? Well, in court, a federal judge has ordered attorneys to refer to boys as girls or else. Of course, we're talking about transgender individuals. In this case, we're talking about biological males in the state of Connecticut that are transitioning to girls, and they are competing in athletics, particularly track and field, against females. So we have males competing against females, and three females in Connecticut have filed a lawsuit against the state of Connecticut. The Connecticut High School Athletic Association, claiming discrimination. And I obviously, when you have boys competing against girls, even if they call themselves girls, wear makeup, have long hair, put a little lipstick on, they're still males. Well, here's where the story gets really bizarre. The Alliance Defending Freedom has come to the aid of the three girls who are suing the state of Connecticut. By the way, lawsuits similar to this are happening in other states across America as well. Well, we just found out that federal judge Robert Chattigny, scolded the Alliance Defending Freedom lawyers during a conference call because they referred to the male athletes as males. Now, remember, they are biologically males, but they identify as females. The judge said, according to a transcript, and I quote, "What I'm saying is you must refer to them as transgender females rather than males." Again, listen to this. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know how bizarre this is. He went on, "Again, that's the more accurate terminology, and I think that it fully protects your client's legitimate interests. Referring to these individuals as transgender females is consistent with science, common practice, and perhaps human decency. To refer to them as males, period, is not accurate, certainly not as accurate, and I think it's needlessly provocative." Anybody have a problem with that? He said, "Referring to these individuals as transgender females is consistent with science." No, it's not. There is not one shred of scientific evidence that says that transgenderism actually exists. Science says if you are a male with male chromosomes, male DNA, you're a male. You call yourself a female, you put on lipstick, mascara, grow your hair long, you can even have surgery, but you're still a male. So here is a federal judge citing, saying it's consistent with science. Well, no, it's not. He went on and he ended his statement to the attorneys for these three girls, and I quote, "So going forward, we will not refer to the proposed intervenors as males. Understood?" He ordered them. He is demanding that attorneys call biological males females. He's demanding it. Well, the ADF have filed suit asking that the judge be dismissed from the case. Quote, "ADF lawyers have argued in a motion to dismiss the judge, and the judge's order is legally unprecedented. Furthermore, it damages the appearance of impartiality." You think so? Quote, "A disinterested observer would reasonably believe that the court's order and comments have destroyed the appearance of impartiality in this proceeding. That requires recusal." What's going to happen? Don't know, but the girls' attorneys from the Alliance Defending Freedom have demanded that the judge be removed. No, he is not impartial in any way, shape, or form. Not at all. So we'll keep an eye on that. This is a very, very important precedent-setting case in Connecticut. Very important. All right, we'll take our first break, and then we'll be back.
Bernie Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome back to Bob Bernie Live. Telephone number 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483. During this time of the COVID-19 crisis, we're seeing a lot of people making decisions about civil disobedience. I'll get to it just a little bit later, but 3,000 pastors in California have said they are going to have in-person church services in total defiance of the governor's mandate in California. Governor Newsom in California has mandated nobody in church, no, zero. Not just less than 50, not less than 10, nobody. No in-person church services, which I think is terribly, horribly, absolutely unconstitutional, but that's the decision made by the governor of California. 3,000 pastors have said, we're meeting. We don't care what the governor says. A lot of small business owners are making decisions about civil disobedience. A restaurant owner here in Columbus, if you'll remember, a little over a week ago, announced publicly, I'm opening. I don't care what the state says. I'm going to open. I can't go on any longer. I can't survive. And so he announced publicly that he was going to open. The health department said, go ahead. We'll yank your license. We will shut you down unless you obey us. Now, I don't know what's happened since then. I believe the owner of that restaurant, I'm not sure, but I believe he decided, yeah, I don't think I'm going to try it then. But then up in Michigan, there is a barber, 77 years old, Carl Mankey, who has had a barber shop in Michigan for many, many years. He's 77. And he said, you know, I don't care what the governor says. I'm opening my shop. Put out word. Customers started responding. By the way, he is in Lansing. He is in Lansing. And announced he was opening, announced that he was defying the governor's order. And the community in Lansing has responded. Many, many, many people volunteered to make a human barrier around his barbershop to prevent police from shutting the barbershop down. One said, we're willing to stand in front of that door and block the entrance so the police will have no entry there today. Well, the state's attorney general filed a suit. County circuit judge. The Michigan Attorney General says this guy is defiant. He's violating the executive order of the governor, the state of Michigan. Shut him down. Well, the county circuit court judge, Matthew Stewart, said, No. He refused to sign the temporary restraining order against the barber. He said, no. I am not going to participate. Isn't that something? So you have a judge going against the attorney general who is trying to prevent this individual business owner from opening his shop. And you might like this. Let me quote from the story I'm reading. During a triumphant press conference, because he's open. During a triumphant press conference in front of his shop late yesterday afternoon, Mankey, he is the 77-year-old man that owns the barbershop, Mankey told a crowd of supporters, quote, "I'm going to stay open till Jesus comes." According to the Detroit News, there has been a steady stream of cars passing in front of the shop, passing, thumbs up, and other kinds of affirmations from the crowd. Mr. Mankey said, "I feel the governor is not my mother, never has been. As a matter of fact, this administration, for the most part, I've been in business longer than they've been alive." So the standoff continues. Is the governor and the attorney general going to take it to a higher court? Have police try to intervene? I don't know. But for right now, Carl Mankey's barbershop is open in Lansing, Michigan. Well, I have never in my entire life looked so forward to a barber's appointment. I get my hair cut Friday at 8 o'clock. I'm going to lose. It's going to be the quickest weight loss program I've ever been on. I'm going to lose about 20 pounds, I think. So anyway, my telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE. If you were listening yesterday, we have rescheduled Speaker of the Ohio House, Larry Householder, for tomorrow afternoon at 5 p.m. He was scheduled yesterday for 5, and at the last minute, something came up. And when you're dealing with live radio, and particularly when you're dealing with very busy politicians, it's not that unusual. But we are hoping and trusting that Mr. Householder will be with us tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I think this interview is going to be quite different from the president of the Senate a week ago on Wednesday. Larry Householder has publicly expressed his, shall we say, displeasure with the governor. So, Lord willing, that is tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Speaker of the House, Larry Householder. Quick break. We'll return.